Amateur Presentation.
Badu and Alenka, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it. And I have to admit, I had a blast watching this movie, but at the same time, I really appreciated what it was saying about workers' rights and, you know, what it means to be somebody that is underpaid and overworked and feels that exhaustion from day in and day out. So I wanted to start off with asking you, Radu, about the black and white cinematography of the film. And were there any stylistic choices or inspirations that served as sort of a jumping off point for the film? Because there is a mention, as many great references throughout of classic films, but Charlie Chaplin's City Lights was a fantastic reference.
Oh, well, there's always references, of course, and some you are aware of, some less aware of them. If you ask me which are the most important ones, well, first of all, I would say that the film, because it's inspired by my experience of working at my especially in my beginnings, but also after in order to make a living, I did all kinds of jobs. So this was, let's say, the main inspiration. And then cinematically, I don't know. It's always, I always consider, although it's not very visible, that silent cinema is a inspiration because of the kind of mise-en-scene is done with the fixed shot, etc. And I watched a lot, and I'm watching still a lot of very old films, of silent films. And also someone who was also inspired by silent films was Andy Warhol's in his cinema. And Warhol is also a big influence. But also, you know, there's a lot of influences from things like James Joyce's Ulysses, for instance, that my last two feature films, Bad Luck Banging and this one, are somehow half unconsciously inspired by Ulysses by Joyce. For instance, on the other hand, I mentioned John Dos Passos for his collage thing, and in his review, Jay Hoberman said, well, he said Radu Jude mentions John Dos Passos, but someone like William Burroughs is a better comparison. And to be honest, I only read, I'm planning to read a lot of Burroughs, but I only read Naked Lunch until now, and maybe one or two more smaller things. So it could be that you can find some connection or some influence afterwards, you know, that without realizing it. So it's all it's everything coming together somehow. But also I think that, for instance, what Ilinka is doing with her avatar, which she invented, I think it has a lot to do not only with this political empowerment that she likes to speak about, etc., but it, for me, it's also connected with the avant-garde provocation gestures, like historical avant-garde. And also historical avant-garde are a big inspiration, especially because we had a Romanian important avant-garde in the 20s and 30s. And then because the communist dictatorship basically wiped it out, it was somehow, well, less well-known than it should have been. And for me, it was a discovery, I don't know, 20 years ago. And it's still, for me, the Romanian avant-garde, which included Tristan Tzara, who created the Dadaism afterwards, Romanian avant-garde is a big influence, actually.
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that. I wanted to ask the both of you about the collaboration process, because I noticed at the end credits, it says personally written by Radu Jude. And so I was curious in terms of where the two of you come in together in terms of developing Angela as a character, and even the structure of the narrative, having a conversation with a film that is 43 years old, Angela Moves. And does that structure play an important role in terms of shaping the narrative that you two are collaborating on?
My input is my personality and my acting skills, that like acting skills that weren't so so developed and so far from my personal way of being. So it's far from being a method acting process for me. But the script was fully written by Radu, and I created Bobica on my social media platforms before, but all the rants that exist in the movie and everything was written by Radu.
Oh, wow. I was watching some of the Avatar sort of rants on Instagram, as you were mentioning, and they feel very natural to the conversations that you're having on Instagram versus the film. And I wouldn't be able to tell. Is there any input that you are bringing with that, the way that you're delivering the dialogue or the way that the character is being portrayed in the moment?
I think it's my input is my acting skills. I think when I was doing Bobica and when I do it, I am more focused on speaking about this dynamic between men and women, and I'm more focused on that. But Radu enlarged the spectrum of this toxic male character, and he touched political issues, and it gave it more complexity. I think it created a larger scene.
I would add here that also the character, in a way, after deciding together to do the film together, was modeled around Ilinka's way of interacting, of speech. I try not to, if because I like her very much, and I like her acting very much, and I like her personality very much, I wanted somehow the character to be her, in a way, like in a parallel universe. So I didn't want Ilinka to play somebody else in a different way than she is. I'm sure she is capable of, but actually I wanted someone like her because I like her. That's one thing. And then even the avatar was what I somehow created with it. It was just to take it as a ready-made and put it somehow in the montage of the film. And even if some text or most of the text were, let's say, written by me or then discussed together with Ilinka, but the way I tried to do was to emulate her style. So it's a little bit like I took the avatar and the way of the way she created, I respected that, and I tried just to expand it a little bit, but I didn't say, okay, let's do this character, this fake character, how you want to call it, this virtual character in a different way. No, I wanted to keep this Bobica in the way that Ilinka created it. This is why she shot herself with the phone in the same way that she's normally doing, more or less, let's say.
Absolutely. A question that I was curious about, like you mentioned about gender and sort of, I was curious because a lot of the time in the film, you hear people reacting to the avatar and saying, oh, those are vulgar lines. Do you think that if it was a man saying those lines, that he would get the same reaction? Because I felt that there was a double standard in terms of how men were reacting to a woman saying these things. And I think a man might not get that same reaction.
I'm positive about that because the women are a fragile and delicate thing. They shouldn't be with dirty words in their mouth, like, of course. And if men have this kind of expressing themselves, this is power. Yeah,
absolutely.
But actually, when I started doing Bobica, the feedback from my close ones, for example, my mother, who's also an actress and she plays in the movie, is actually my mother in the movie as well. She she was like intrigued by it, and she rejected it. I mean, she didn't like to hear me speak like that. She couldn't decode it. Like, she rejected instantly.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's a conversation even in the way that you talk about, you know, people are missing the point of, you know, satire and what that means, and, yeah, and what you're portraying, you know, as an actor. And so, you know, you're making some really good points within the context of the film. Radu, I wanted to ask, because I noticed that at the end there were some mentionings of quotes and specific names, specifically Earl Morris. And I wanted to ask about Earl Morris because I was kind of reminded a little bit of when we're seeing the archival footage in the film, it almost has this obsessive quality of that it's going back and looking at certain images and pausing. Do you consider yourself an editor even in the writing process when you're working from other source material?
Well, actually, yeah, I think I mentioned Errol Morris because it was in a tweet of him that I read one thing regarding the Count of Monte Cristo's. So I tried. I mean, in a book you can have footnotes, but in a film you cannot have footnotes. So I try to express my gratitude at the end to the people from whom I borrowed or stolen things, quotations or ideas or everything. Of course, I'm a big admirer of Errol Morris's films, but also of his books. I think Believing is Seeing is really a great book. Then, what can I say? I would say that I consider cinema in a certain way as a way of editing and a way of thinking through this editing and through this montage. And now, because I see your DVD library behind you, that remembers me, and I think this is the definite answer one can give. An anecdote, which I'm sorry if I quoted a few times, but I will quote it again, is that Eisenstein's bookshelves were organized not by chronological criteria, but by montage principles. This is what the biggest specialist in Eisenstein says, Nahum Kleiman. And he says that he has books, for instance, like Ulysses next to Alice in Wonderland, and a biography of Napoleon next to Anomalies in Biology or something like that. And so it was organized on montage principles. So, and this Eisenstein considered as being cinema, the way he's organizing. So you see, so if you're interested in cinema, I think it's you can see everything in terms of montage or of cinema. And I remember now, I think it was, well, of course, a provoking thing when Godard said, if the doctors and researchers in medicine would study cinema, how you can put things together in order to have a deeper knowledge, then in a few months they will discover the cancer vaccine. But they are not able to discover it because they don't know cinema. Of course, that's an exaggeration, I'm sure, but I can relate in my own modest way with Godard or with Eisenstein's ideas that everything around is somehow cinema, only you need to look at it in this way. Like everything around is poetry, if you want to look at it in this way, you see.
Absolutely. Well, you look at something like Battleship Potemkin, or, you know, what Godard was doing with Goodbye to Language, and it's continually playing and reinventing and also finding the excitement within the moment. I was curious about the rehearsal process. Maybe the two of you can talk a little bit about shooting. Were you driving the whole time, or were there actual screen projections of outside? Because it felt like you were always on the road, and there's a sense of danger to that. And can you kind of take me through what kind of cameras you were using within the car?
No, we shot on 16 millimeter black and white 16 millimeter, and I will let Ilinka express her
Well, it wasn't any green screen. I understood, right? No, it was like we shot a lot of scenes, most of the scenes in the traffic of Bucharest. It's not. It's I personally drive a lot in Bucharest in this shitty traffic, so I'm used to it. And I didn't feel unsafe at all, because there was the crew around me with the cars that were somehow protecting me, and I think I am a good driver. And I felt really safe, but all the scenes were shot while I was filming and driving.
Does the cameras do you kind of block that out as you're driving, or does it eventually kind of go away, or are you even thinking about it then?
I think it's something like I knew the car. I had the car days before shooting, so I got to know the car very well, and I started to know it. And I considered the camera that was mostly on the right window of the car, and it was like that. It was knowing the car and her dimension, and it became mine. Like, I knew the car, so I didn't feel unsafe at all.
And yeah, it felt like it was an extension of you.
Yeah, exactly. And I incorporated also the camera, because I added some more inches, and it wasn't so difficult. But since many years, so I'm pretty good at it. I enjoy doing it.
Absolutely. And yeah, there's something hypnotic about watching somebody that's really good at doing something, and the way that you're driving, and even just like those quiet moments where you're just focused, you know, on driving. It's just such a beautifully done moment. And so I kind of wanted to wrap up with this, because I know I'm sure both of you have talked about this a lot. But what was it like having Uwe Boll on set? And specifically, was Radu, you talked about, you know, writing the Avatar lines. Did you write the material that he was having, the dialogue that he was having with Angela?
No, that's more improvised. That's more improvised, and with Uwe Boll, actually, well, first of all, I admire him very much for his resilience, and for his capacity to face and go on, even if some people say, well, yeah, we don't like what you're doing, and he keeps doing it. And I decided to invite him in the film. He was very open and very generous and very nice, really nice. And I think Ilinka remembers that we decided together that the scene will be improvised, meaning that she will ask him a few, they will start discussing around some topics or some experiences, like Uwe Boll boxing the film critics, etc. And he will answer whatever he wants. And this is how we did it. So it was somehow his moment, and I didn't impose him anything. But I truly believe he's a great actor.
Yeah, he was really great in improvising. He was like very open and very, very skilled.
Yeah, you can tell that he's having fun, but he is, you know, very pointed in his comments. And, you know, we're talking about physical media just a second ago. It's interesting that some of his films are getting re-released now on Blu-ray and reappraised, whether it be Blood Rain or Postal and, you know, other films. So it's always interesting when, you know, time plays a role in how people see things, you know, when they first come out versus, you know, how they play later on. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this. It's been lovely. And
it's also a kind of interesting, because, well, I think what he sets him apart is that he has many, many films. He has a big over. He has a big big quantity of films, and that makes it differently.
Yeah, it's eclectic. It's sort of a, you know, he could have been working in the 1930s or 40s, or even, you know, at a time where, you know, Poverty Row filmmakers like Edgar G. Ulmer, you know, who would go from one film to another to another.
Yeah. Well, I think, and I really admire this kind of filmmakers, and they are my models in a way. Ulmer is a great model for me. And so Uwe Boll is also a kind of model.
Yeah. Detour is great. And again, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me, both of you. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity.